We've been talking about the model church, and we've been talking about the model church from a couple of different things. We talked about the church itself and how the church is established. And we moved on to talk about kingdom relationships, that God wants for all of us to have relationships that are based on the kingdom of God. And when it comes down to it, there's only three kinds of relationships. Number one is the relationship that Paul has with Timothy, the Paul relationship. Paul is the one pouring out his life into somebody else. Amen? The second type is the relationship Paul had with Barnabas, which is that they were co-laborers together. And so the second type is you have people, friends, people you stand shoulder to shoulder with, people you minister with, people who are your people that encourage you, build you up, and keep you strengthened for the day-to-day life that you have to leave. Amen? The third kind is the relationship that Paul had to Timothy, except instead of being the one to being pouring out, you're the one who's receiving. So Timothy is the third kind of relationship, the one that is poured into and the one who receives information knowledge in order to be strengthened to raise up to be what he's called to become. Amen? So we have these three kinds of relationships. Now we talked about relationships then are only as good as the character we take into the relationships. In other words, no matter how good of a teacher I am, if I don't have the character to back up what I teach, nobody's going to listen. Amen? No matter how good of a friend you want to be, if you don't have the character to be a friend to someone else, then that relationship won't last, right? If you are the person receiving the instruction, somebody can give you the whole world of knowledge, but if your character is not established to receive and to do, then that relationship doesn't work. So the extension of relationship is always character. Kingdom character is not based on what people think about you. See, when we say somebody's assassinating my character, we say that they think something of me, they said something, so they're assassinating your character. Character cannot be assassinated. Because you can shoot character with whatever you want. Character will not budge. Because character is not what people think about you. Character is what you are. So your character can never be assassinated. Because guess what? People can believe whatever they want to be about you, but you will only manifest what your character says you are. So when I was an angry person, if you said something about me, anger came out of me. Now you say something about me now, I still have some anger in me. But I have something else in me too. What I have is the character of God that's being shaped in me, and less of the anger's in me and more of the character of God's being shaped in me. Amen? And God's continuing to work in me through trial and tribulation, things that are revealing what he's building in me. So what I used to be is less, and what God is making me is becoming more. There's something new rising up on the inside of me that doesn't allow me to be what I used to be. Now, when you look at me, I look the same. But when you push me, you don't get the same thing you used to get. Because what's in me is different. There's a change. There's a transformation. There's something happening in my life that is God is pouring into me if I'm open and I accept the character that God is forming through tribulation, then he's making something new. Because again, my relationship with God will only be as strong as my character with God. See, God is now this Timothy who's pouring out into us. And we are the Timothys receiving the word of God. But our character determines how much of the word we receive and how much of the word we walk and exercise. See, the hungrier I am for the righteousness of God, the more I will press myself to begin to listen to God and put myself to hear the word and put myself that I receive the word and then I take a step of the word. Lauren said when he was taking the offering, when he was receiving the offering, he said, sometimes we got to put a toe in the water. Sometimes the level of obedience to God is a toe in the water. Can I obey God to step into the water? To just take one step in, not to dive in all the way, because you may not be ready for that. I was talking to somebody today, and we're talking about dealing with challenges and recognizing sometimes in our life we think we've faced the biggest challenge there is, and only to find out a couple years later that there's a challenge bigger than that. Guess what? When you went through the thing that seemed like the biggest thing, it was the biggest thing you can handle. See, the biggest thing is whatever I can deal with at the time. But God is shaping me, and when I get into something bigger, I have a better capacity to handle something bigger. So God is always consistently working in our lives to develop us and to grow us. So last week we talked, and then we went into the Beatitudes, and we went through the Beatitudes. We said the first couple of Beatitudes, the first four Beatitudes were about our relationship with God. The next three were about how we deal with other people. And the last two were about our mission. That blessed are you when you step into things and you get persecuted as a result of stepping into the things of God. When people don't agree with you, or people don't like you, or people have something false to say about you because you stood on the word, or you're walking with God, or you're doing something as unto the Lord. Blessed are you when you face that persecution. And then he went on to say, you are the light of the world. If you understand that he's taking these Beatitudes and he's forming a kingdom character within you, he's forming something in you that's causing you to be able to have the right attitudes that guard your behaviors, that push you forward. That when we walk into those things, that God is then blessing us. Now, when we usually think about that, we usually think about we have to do it in order to be blessed. But today I want to talk to you about the blessing. I want to talk to you about the blessing because what I have found in my spiritual walk is that my thought about what blessing is has not been the same as what God's intention for blessing is. See, I've thought about blessing in a certain way, and I've with sincere heart attempted to get blessed by God, not understanding what God is doing. And so I pursued being blessed, not realizing that all the things I'm pursuing me are taking me away from blessing rather than guiding me into blessing. So we're going to begin by going to the book of Proverbs chapter 10. Proverbs chapter 10. I want you, while you're turning, turn there, I want you to listen to this story. This story is a story a gentleman wrote in a book, and the book is whatever, but the story's very good. The story is about a man named R.U. Darby, who was a wealthy man, and this person was interviewing him and asking him a question about what was his motivation for getting wealth. And this is what he said. He said, my uncle had gone west to Colorado during the gold rush days and eventually ran across a gold ore. In the need of mining equipment to dig up more gold, my uncle took out a loan and secured financing for this machinery. When he got there, he's also enlisted other people to come out with him. They secured the financing and they went back to the mine. I'm going to paraphrase. I don't want to read this whole thing. Initially, things were going well. The first remnants of the gold were discovered, were shipped to a smelter, and returns provided a promise that they could have one of the Colorado's richest mines. A few more gold discoveries, like the first, could clear their debt and leave them very rich. Needless to say, they entered very hopeful as they continued to drill. Then the unbelievable happened. The gold vein of ore that they had successfully been drilling just disappeared. Confident that they would find more gold, Darby and his uncle continued to drill day after day with no luck. Every day of drilling drove them deeper into debt, and finally they both declared to quit. They sold the drilling machinery to some nearby junk man and returned home. The junk man, however, was not convinced that their mine had no gold, so he hired a mining engineer to get an expert opinion before breaking down all of the drilling machinery to be sold. The engineer's findings were shocking. He found that the vein of gold that they had been drilling and seeking was just 3 feet away from where they stopped. The junk man decided to continue drilling, and that's exactly where they found the gold. The junk man ended up taking millions of dollars of gold from Darby's former mine because he was smart enough to know what he didn't know, and he sought expert counsel. Blessing sometimes is 3 feet away from where we tend to quit. The place where we get confronted, first, the place where we hit the tribulation, we get to that deepest part, and we get to that point where you can either continue to go forward or you can quit. Blessing is usually on the other side of that, because what God does in our lives is that God does not add sorrow with blessing, but God has to shape us and build our character to be able to handle blessing when we get it. So God will sometimes take us through what seems like empty seasons when we're digging and we're getting nothing. Remember, Peter was on the boat and Jesus said, let me borrow your boat. And Jesus takes the boat out and begins preaching. Peter and his friends had been out all night long. After Jesus finished preaching, he turns to Peter and says, Peter, let's go out fishing. He said, Lord, we toiled all night long. We didn't catch anything. We toiled all night long. We caught nothing. Nevertheless, if you say so, Lord, we'll go. They turned the boat around. They went out. They got a haul of fish so busy they could not hold it. He had to call for his friends to come and get it. When they came and got it, they couldn't hold it. Their boats were sinking. Why? Because if Peter said, Jesus, you don't know what you're talking about. I've been toiling all night. I quit. Then they would have never experienced the harvest. See, there's seasons in life where you're going to face it. You're going to go through things. You're going to get to that point where you're going to want to give up on everything. But the word of God is calling us to continue doing what we do. Look at Proverbs 10 and 22. It says, the blessing of the Lord makes one what? And he adds no sorrow with it. Now, the end of the story said that the junk man was smart enough to look for expert counsel. In the multitude of counselors, the safety is what again, the word else is said in the book of Proverbs. But sometimes we're seeking to be blessed in areas when we haven't sought the counsel of the Lord. We haven't sought the real counsel of God. So when we start saying, I'll give you an example. No, let me stick with the program. It's better that I stick with the program. Amen, amen. I want to give you what God told me to give you. All right, the Beatitudes reveal that we're blessed when we proceed through things. Okay, turn your book, you don't have to go there, we'll bring this up. Matthew chapter 5, verse 2. Matthew 5 and 2. This is where we were studying the Beatitudes. Then he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Now, this seems to be in total contradiction to Proverbs chapter 10 we just read, right? Proverbs 10 says the blessing of the Lord makes one rich and he has no sorrow with this. But then here comes Jesus, who these Jewish people that he's preaching to have all learned the book of Proverbs. But then he comes and says, blessed are the poor in spirit. Well, wait a minute. How can the blessing of the Lord make me rich, but I got to be poor in spirit to be blessed? Because he's talking about something different. He's not talking here about being poor. Because some people interpret this passage and say, blessed are the poor. And we glorify poverty. That poverty is a blessing. This is interesting. A man said this. As a pastor. And he said, you know, people are always criticizing me for preaching about prosperity. But the same other pastors who are criticizing me for preaching prosperity are then begging their people for money. He said, that doesn't make sense. Why would God want us to feed the world if God's not planning to supply what's needed to do it? The key is somewhere in between. It's not preaching prosperity. Prosperity is prosperity, and it's definitely not preaching poverty. The truth is, God has a plan for us to prosper. Not a prosperity gospel. God wants us to be able to, whatever we put our hands on, to be able to exercise the wisdom of the Holy Spirit to excel at. That's God's plan. God's plan is for us to not give the pastor money so you can be blessed. Because I'm telling you what, if the blood of Jesus don't bless you, giving me money sure ain't going to help you. You understand what I'm saying? We give because we're giving in order to do what we're called to do as a church. But you can't give to me in order to be blessed. Now, you can give and be blessed, but not giving to this position in order to be blessed. You understand? There's a difference. Becoming a generous person, a giving person, is something that you ought to do. We ought to become generous givers. But giving to me in order to be blessed is not going to bless you unless God told you to do that. obedience is better than sacrifice. I knew this family who was sacrificing. They were sacrificing. They were sacrificing. And they were tithing. And they were sacrificing. And their life was not going in the direction. They were struggling. And they didn't have money. And they were not happy. And things were not going well. And nothing was going right. And they're giving. And they're giving. And I asked the lady, I said, are you ever angry when you give? She said, yes. I said, stop giving. God loves a cheerful giver. We sometimes preach sacrificial giving, but we got to put that in the right context. It is not about being poor. It's not about denying. It's not about that. It is really about becoming poor in spirit, that we become dependent upon God. That we have a dependency upon our Creator, to know that He's the one working in our favor, that He will cause things to work out because He's doing for us. And trust and faith are necessary in order to operate, not giving that is not guided by the Word. Amen? Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith, and He endured shame of the cross because of joy that was set before Him. The primary reason we have a hard time with understanding these Beatitudes is because we really don't understand blessing. We struggle with understanding the Beatitudes because when we read it, it doesn't make sense. Blessing the poor in spirit because they're going to receive the kingdom of heaven. Okay, well, great, but what about me right now? I got a life to live right now. I appreciate this kingdom of heaven thing. Thank you, Lord. It's good to be going to heaven. But I, Lord, seriously have some things right now I need to deal with before I come and see you. See, there's realities in life right now, but if we don't understand what this blessed means, then we don't understand what it means to then receive the kingdom of heaven, because our programming suggests that we receive the kingdom of heaven when you die and you go to heaven. Amen? It suggests, the way we've been taught, I won't say you, way I was taught, my mind is that the kingdom of heaven comes when I go to heaven. And that doesn't say this here. It says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs shall be. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Not shall be, it is. When you become poor in spirit, at the time you become poor in spirit, you're blessed. You're blessed because the kingdom is yours. The kingdom of heaven is yours. Now, the question is, do you know how to use your keys to the kingdom? Do you know how to exercise what you're given? The next couple of chapters in the book of Matthew break down how do you begin to do it. And they require changes. They require changes in the way we think. They require changes in the way we operate. They require changes in our attitudes, our mindsets, how we think, what we have attitudes concerning. All that changes. Now, I want you to take a look at 1 Thessalonians 3 and 5. And we're going to go there quick, and we're going to take a big leap after that. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, chapter 1, verse 3, rather. It says, we are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is fitting, because your faith grows exceedingly, and the love of God, every one of you all abounds toward each other, so that we ourselves boast of you among the churches of God for your patience and your faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure, which is manifest evidence of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God for which you suffer. Okay? I want to break this down a little bit. I want to kind of give you a couple things to think about here. Number one, their faith and their love became evident. It was evidence of God's favor on their lives. It was evidence of God working in them. So much so that Paul was bragging about them to other churches. Your love and your faith is something that I want to tell other people about. I want to tell other people about how much the love of God is in you, how much I see God's love working through you. And when I see that working that way, it is manifest evidence to me that the kingdom is among you, that the kingdom of God is there in your midst. Why? Because you cannot extend love without the kingdom. We talked about it before. You can love on the surface, but when it goes past the surface and it starts getting down to, can you love in tribulation? Can you love in trials? Can you love in challenges? You have to have kingdom love in your spirit in order to do that. And God wants to give us that. God wants to give us love that will go past the surface. Now, this is important because when we're talking about blessing, you can't really understand blessing unless you start understanding the kingdom. Go to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who's blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Very first thing, you've been blessed with every spiritual blessing. So we read these Beatitudes and they had all of these, blessed are the. And they all had a promise on the end of them. The poor in spirit receive the kingdom of heaven. The meek shall inherit the earth. Okay, so it had all of these, blessed are this, and there's a blessing on the end of it. But when it comes here in Ephesians chapter 1, Paul is explaining to the Ephesians church, you've been blessed with every spiritual blessing. Every spiritual blessing you've already received. You've been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Verse 4, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he has made us accepted in the beloved. To understand blessing, you have to understand that the spiritual blessings you received are now. And they are now, and they are this. Number one, that you have an eternal favor with God. An eternal favor with God. Now, it's hard to accept that because we look around at the world and our situations don't seem to suggest that I have favor with God. Would anyone agree with that? My situations don't always suggest that I have God's favor on my life. My situations sometimes seem like I have a curse on my life. My situations can feel like, man, everything is coming on me. There's pressure on me. There's weight on me. There's things coming at me. How am I supposed to get out of this? Well, you know what? God has blessed you with every spiritual blessing. It begins in the heavenlies. It begins in the heavenlies. It begins with that heavenly. So once again, blessed are the poor in spirit because they have what? Received the kingdom of heaven. So the heavenly blessing that I've already received, that's already set aside, he said, you're blessed when you become poor enough in spirit that your dependency is not on your ability to get out. Your dependency is on God's ability to start working through you and to start building out the blessing that's on the inside of you. The blessing that's on the inside of me is bigger than every problem that I face. The blessing that's on the inside of me is bigger than every situation that I am posed against me. It's bigger than any adversary that comes against me. How do I know this? Because when I read the Old Testament, I see picture after picture of people who were not big enough to overcome but did. Abraham is 83 years old, and God comes to him and says, I'm going to bless you, and I'm going to give you an inheritance. I take it back. He was 75 when God came to him the first time. He was 83 when he finally decided, you know what? God said he's going to give me a child. I'm going to make my own. Now, that's some faith right there already. But then God said, no, that's not what I'm going to do. I'm going to wait till you're 99, then I'm going to give you my promise that I want to give you, because I need you to understand, not only when you're 99 are you going to have a baby, you're going to live to see that baby get up and walk and handle his own business. Wait a minute. Go to Genesis. Go to Genesis 12. Genesis 12. See God. Here's God. Here's God working. God says, "Let there be light." Light was, right? God speaks something and it happens. God says something and it happens. God is then making man in his own image with his own likeness. So what does man have the power to do? Man has the power to speak something and make it happen. The problem is we don't believe it. We don't believe that our words have power. But we do understand that if we tell somebody off, we've accomplished something. You know why? Because you know your words have power. You just have a hard time believing that your words can create something. You know your words have power. Well, I just got something to say. Why you got to say it? Because you know your words got power. You know you need to know, if you say something, something's gonna happen. But you haven't figured out how to, in a renewed mind, make something happen by saying something good. We know we can tell everybody. How many of y'all ever told somebody off? Why did you tell them off? Why did you tell them off? Because you knew something was going to happen. You told them because you knew your words had some power, so I got to say what I got to say. I got to say it. Why? Because your words have power, and you know they do. But we haven't been trained to use our words to build. We haven't been trained to use our words to create. We've been trained to use our words to tear down. This is what God does here. God comes to Abraham in Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. Now the Lord said to Abraham, "Get out of your country, from your kindred, and from your father's house to a land that I'm going to show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. And I will bless those that bless you, and I'll curse those that curse you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." Now, Abraham struggled with this promise until he got something, an understanding. The understanding Abraham had to come to is God said, "I'm going to bless you." See, Abraham's mindset was that he needed to do the blessing. He needed to make something. He needed to do something. He needed to make something happen. He was going to try to make things happen. And so this rest of the story about Abraham is about Abraham going and doing things, sometimes in the favor of God, sometimes in his own way, and God having to come back and show him, "I'm taking care of you, Abraham." Abraham is married to Sarah, and Sarah is a beautiful woman. And so Abraham and Sarah are going out, and they were half siblings, but they were married to each other. And she's very beautiful. And so they're out, and this army comes up on them. And when Abraham sees the army coming on them, he looks at her and says, "When they come, tell them you're my sister. Because if you tell them that I'm your husband, they're going to kill me and take you. Because you're beautiful." Now your wife is beautiful when you believe people are going to come kill you to get her. So he says, "No, I'm not dying today. Tell them I'm your brother." So they do that. And sure enough, when they bring this woman back, the king sees her, says, "Bring her, because she's going to be my wife." Now, this is the old woman who Abraham was worried about not being able to have a child with, because she was past her years. I'm using the word. But the king saw her and said, I'm making her my wife. So then the king goes to bed that night, and the Lord comes to him in a dream and says, let that woman go. That's that man's wife. And if you touch her, I'm going to get you. So he goes to Abraham. He said, why did you lie to me? That's your wife, isn't it? Yes, it is. Why did you lie? God was going to kill me. Your lie almost got me and almost got me killed. Now, wait a minute. Abraham lied. Shouldn't God be angry at him? Shouldn't God punish him? Shouldn't God now say to him, you know what? You lied, Abraham, and so now my promise on your life is done with. Shouldn't that be what God does? Abraham made a judgment error. He made a mistake. Shouldn't God be through with him? God ain't through. God's not through. You know why God's not through? Because God made a promise. See, when you're going through tribulation, you need to remember God has already made a promise of every spiritual blessing. He's already foreknown you and adopted you. He's already selected you and chosen you, which is what we saw in the book of Ephesians. And because he has, even though you make a mistake, even though you come up short, even though you may have lied to get your way out of a situation, you may have violated certain things in God's word, but God is still committed to seeing you blessed if you don't quit. See, if you don't give, God will see his word to pass. Look at what God said to Abraham. Look here in Genesis chapter 12. And this is before the problem starts. God made the promise first. Abraham's minding his own business. God comes and said, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to make your name great. I'm going to do this to you. And not only am I going to do that, don't just look at yourself, Abraham. My job, my purpose in you is not to bless you so that you're blessed. My job is to make you a blessing. I'm not trying to just bless you so that you're comfortable. I'm trying to bless you to make you a blessing. So sometimes our thought is, I'll tell you, when we were young and married, I had this job and I said, Lord, if I could just make $2,000 a month, I would be satisfied. If I can just make $2,000, I'll be good. Thank you, Lord, please. And I sought the Lord and begged the Lord. Finally, whew, I'm making $2,000 a month. And after a while, things go like they go, and I'm on my knees again. Lord, if I can just make $3,000 a month, I'll be all cool if I can just make $3,000 a month. And you get there, and things go, and then once again, you're back on your knees. More money. Why? Because I don't understand blessing. I'm asking God to meet my needs. I'm not seeking the blessing. See, there's meeting your needs, and then there's blessing. See, when God tells Abraham he wants to bless him, he doesn't say, Abraham, I want to meet your needs. He said, Abraham, I want to bless you, and I want to make your name great. I want to bless you to be a blessing. I want to bless you so much that the whole world is blessed through you. What am I saying to you? I'm saying to you, sometimes we are thinking about God meeting our needs and we're not looking at the bigger picture. God wants to bless you. So then when a door opens for me to be blessed so that I can be a blessing, I shy away from the door because I haven't even got my needs met. How am I going to walk through that door? I'm still... Our mind has to be renewed. God wants to bless people with businesses. Not for the sake of being a business person, but to be a blessing. To be blessed, to be a blessing. Because if you're a business owner, what does that mean? That means when you're blessed to be a blessing, you'll be able to hire people. It means you will be a steward of opportunity. It means that when you provide a service to people, you're blessing people. And those people are blessed by what you provide. So you're blessed to be a blessing. You are a fruitful tree. Okay, open your Bibles to Psalm chapter 1. Psalm chapter 1. God was trying to make Abraham blessed to be a blessing. He's taking us through tribulation sometimes in order to make us a blessing. See, if your mindset is only on you and your needs, you will not understand blessing. You can't understand blessing when you're still looking at you. God's intent is to make you a blessing. Always remember, God's intent for me is to make me a blessing. Psalm chapter 1, let me turn here. Psalm chapter 1, verse 1. Begins with, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. He shall be like a what? A tree planted by the rivers of what?
Water.
Of water that brings forth its what?
Fruit
when?
In
its season, whose leaf shall not what? And whatever he does will
prosper.
Not taking counsel in the ungodly. It's not standing in the way of sinners. Your delight has to be in the law of the Lord. And let that be your meditation day and night. Because then you shall be like a tree that's planted by the rivers of water. A tree that's planted by the rivers of water means that its roots are always saturated. Its roots always have access to that which it needs to grow. And it will bring forth its fruit in its season. Here's the powerful thing about fruit. Fruit bears within it the power of multiplication. So when I pick an apple from a tree, the apple is just one piece of fruit from all the fruit that's on the tree. A tree never grows and just produces one apple. That's all I had in me. Never. When have you ever walked up to a fruit tree when it's in full season and seen that there's only one piece of fruit on the apple on the tree? Because when you become fruitful, you bear more than you can use. And everything you bear has seeds in it. And those seeds are designed to multiply. An apple does not just have one seed in it, just like the tree did not have one apple on it. It's designed to multiply. How powerful is this? How well does Jesus understand this? Jesus has the opportunity to have thousands of people following him, but he says stuff to scare them off. All these people are sitting around with Jesus. He said, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no part with me. And it says many of them followed him no more. They left. He knew what he was doing. He got it down to 12. He said, now what about y'all? Peter said, you got the words of life. Where are we gonna go? He said, I gotta shake this dead stuff off and keep the 12 that I need, because these 12 will reproduce. These 12 will reproduce. So I'm the tree. I'm the vine. You're the branches. If you're in me, then you're going to bear much fruit. Blessing is not us receiving things. Blessing is us letting things flow through us so that we become a blessing. Blessed are you when you're meek. Why? Because meekness is flowing through you and producing something. It's producing not for you, it's producing for other people. Blessed are they that show mercy. Why? Because your mercy is pouring out fruit to other people. You don't benefit from mercy. The people you give mercy to benefit. Your pouring out of mercy blesses people. Blessed are you when people persecute you. Why? For the sake of me being persecuted? No, because I spoke a word that so struck something in somebody they tried to lash back. But that means the seed has been planted. See, when I have an exchange with somebody and they get mad about something I say that I know is true, then what's happening is that means that seed is penetrating something hard in there. And it hurt because a seed is passing through something that's been there for a long time. And it hurts because it's going to the heart. If it sits on the surface, it's not going to hurt. Why do they put us to sleep if you have to have surgery? It's going to hurt. They put you to sleep when they go through surgery because it's going to hurt. But why does it hurt? Because they got to go inside. They got to cut you. They got to go down in there. Blessing sometimes has a pain on the front end in order to bring something forth on the back end. Sometimes got to make your situation so you get numb to what's going on around you so that he can now deposit something in you that's going to come forth and bless somebody. It's going to be a blessing to other people. God sometimes has to work through hard times, difficult things in order to put something in you that's going to bring forth more fruit. Abraham was already blessed. Abraham had resources. His family was wealthy. He lived in a city that was full of prosperity, was bubbling over. Ur of the Chaldees was one of the richest places on the planet when the time when Abraham lived there. But God said, get out of your father's house. Go to a place I'm going to show you. Wherever God was going to show him wasn't going to look like that. He said, go to a place I'm going to show you. And so what? He went to his family and said, I'm leaving. Where are you going? God told me to go somewhere. Don't you know that they ridiculed him? God said, what? God said, he's going to make my name great. He's going to make me a father of many nations. Well, don't you have to have some kids to be a father of something? Yeah, but God told me. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. Well, where are you going, Abraham? God said he's going to show me the land. You heard a voice. I'm going to get this right, Abraham. You heard a voice that told you to go out to a land that they're not going to show you till you get there. Leave the wealth that you have here and take you and your wife out, and he's going to make you a father of many nations. Let me know how that works out for you. See, the blessing of God makes us rich. And he adds no sorrow with it. Okay? That's why he tells us to glory in tribulations. Remember reading Romans 5? We glory in tribulations. Why? Because in tribulation is not sadness. It's not sorrow. Tribulation, you need to go in tribulation knowing this is my season to be prepared. This is my season to go through. When we went through this Daniel fast, how many of you went through the Daniel fast and all kind of little weird stuff started happening to you? Little strange things started happening. Why? You know why? Because you went on the fast and you said, God, I want what your will is. And God said, good, thank you. I've been waiting for you to say yes. And then when you said yes, all of a sudden stuff started happening. Why? Because now things are stirred up. Things are stirred up. And when they're stirred up, what is God doing? God says, now, see it all the way through. See it all the way through. I went through the fast. People start getting on my nerves. See your way through. See your way through. I went through the fast and all of a sudden I started having pains. See your way through. Don't quit. Don't give up. Don't give up. I went through the fast and I got confused. Don't quit. Don't quit. See your way through this. Because if you see your way through, God is saying you're going to be blessed. You're blessed in the middle of it. Something's already changing. Something's already working. Something's already being transformed to you. Go to Galatians chapter 3, and we're going to close with this. Galatians chapter 3. Remember, we've been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly. Here's something about kingdom you have to understand. I said you can't understand blessing till you understand kingdom. Well, here's a couple of things you have to understand about kingdom. When Pontius Pilate has Jesus on trial, he says, Jesus, I'm going to ask you a question. I'm going to give you a chance to end this all. They want to kill you. I want to let you go, but you got to answer one question for me. Are you a king. Jesus says, I am as you say. And Pilate says, look, don't get smart with me, Jesus. I'm the one who has your life in my hands. I asked you a question, are you a king? He said, my kingdom is not of this world. Because if it was, my servants would already be handling this business. But my kingdom is not of this world. He did not say, very clearly, he did not say my kingdom is not in this world. He said, my kingdom is not of this world. It's not, that's not where its origin comes from. It doesn't, my kingdom doesn't start here. My kingdom finishes here. Your kingdom's starting here. My kingdom started somewhere else. See, God has already got control of things. Our responsibility is to see the Lord. See the Lord's operation, see him moving in our lives and give ourselves over to him so that we can work in the kingdom. When we are there, he then begins bringing things out of the spirit into this life. When we recognize that the kingdom holds everything that we need, when we understand that every spiritual blessing, everything's already in the heavenlies for us, we now then have to use what we've been given to bring what is there here. Which starts to say, what comes out of your mouth? Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak. So whatever's now in your heart, the kingdom being in my heart. Paul said it like this, the kingdom is not meat or drink, it's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. When we recognize that the Holy Spirit's in us and righteousness, peace, and joy is what he brings forth, then whatever else he can bring forth out of us, we can come to pass. He can bring it to pass. Now, let's look at this. Galatians 3. I'll say this before we read it. Abraham, with a promise from God, struggled with believing. But at a certain point, he started to believe. At a certain point, he started to believe. And when he started to believe, he started to speak it. He started to say it. And when he started to say it, then all of a sudden, he had the power to do it. Look at this. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 13. Oh, it's already on the screen. Okay. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Tell your neighbor, say, I'm redeemed from the curse of the law. Having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on the tree. Jesus hung on the tree to receive the curse of the law. Next verse. This is why he did it. That the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus. Tell your neighbor, you look good, but I think you're a Gentile. The blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles. What are Gentiles? Gentiles are people who, by their heritage, don't have a relationship with God. See, the Jewish, you can be Jewish by being born. You're born Jewish, I got a relationship with God. Everybody else was a Gentile. But people who didn't receive that birthright of being born into the family of God, he says, now that blessing that Abraham had because of his birthright, he said, I'm extending that to everybody. That through Christ, through him dying, him absorbing the curse for us, that now the blessing of Abraham is on me. What is most important here is not that the blessing's on me, but that the curse is on him. You're not cursed. You are not cursed. Remember we said Abraham lied. And what did God do? God fulfilled his promise. And you know what? When you fall, God will still fulfill his promise. If you can fall and get up, God will fulfill his promise on your life. Whatever God's promised you, he will fulfill. He will fulfill it. Now look at this. Next thing. The blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. You receive every promise of the Spirit through faith. When I had a sense inside that God was calling me to ministry, I didn't know what to do. What am I supposed to do? Am I supposed to go tell somebody? And I always grew up, I hated when I heard promises, I got a call on my life. I always hated that. I hated to hear somebody say they had a call on their life. It's like, why would God call you? That was my thought. Why would God pick you out the bunch and call you? But then here I am. I'm sensing a call. What am I supposed to do with this? I talked about people for this. So what am I supposed to do with this? What am I supposed to do? The first thing is recognize God has a calling on every life. God has a calling on every life. Why? Because God wants to bless you and he wants to make you a blessing. The blessing of Abraham. What was the blessing of Abraham? The blessing of Abraham was God coming and picking a man out of the crowd who looks no different than anybody else, and God speaking to him and him obeying. In obedience, the blessing of the Lord came on his life. Abraham did not end up with one son. Abraham ended up with 14 sons. He ended up with 14 sons. When he didn't get started until 83. That's amazing, isn't it? That's amazing. But God is faithful. See, when you understand blessing, you understand the kingdom of God, the kingdom has everything. If when God told Abraham, Abraham, I'm going to bless you and make your name great. If Abraham had at that time been of the mind to say, yes, Lord, not only do I believe you'll take me out of this land, but I believe you will give me whatever. If his mind and his spirit could have been in place, I think he could have had a child before he got 99. But God had to take him through some things to get some things worked out of him so that the glory wasn't on Abraham, the glory was given to God. See, there's some things in my life that God is going to release, but he's got to work some things out of me first. Because like we said, character is what starts to say that what I can handle, I can hold. But if I can't handle it, then I can't hold on to it. See, God's working in us to prepare us, to have us ready to be able to manage what he puts in our hands. When our character is formed, then there's nothing that God can't put on us that can't remain on us and make us a blessing. We are on the road to tremendous blessing. And God is working our character and preparing our character that as we receive, we can be a blessing and not be destroyed by the weight of the blessing.